Hey, come on, y'all. I've been slaving over this for hours.
Dear Lord, baby Jesus, or as our brothers to the south call you, Jesus, we thank you so much for this bountiful harvest of Domino's, KFC, and the always delicious Taco Bell. I just want to take time to say thank you for my family, my two beautiful, beautiful, handsome, striking sons, Walker and Texas Ranger, or TR, as we call them. And of course, my red-hot smoking wife, Carly, who's a stone-cold fox. Also want to thank you for my best friend and teammate, Cal Naughton Jr., who's got my back no matter what.
Shake and bake.
Dear Lord, baby Jesus, we also thank you for my wife's father, Chip. We hope that you can use your baby Jesus powers to heal him and his horrible leg. And it smells terrible, and the dogs are always bothering with it. Dear tiny infant Jesus,
we... Hey, you know, sweetie, Jesus did grow up. You don't always have to call him baby. It's a bit odd and off-putting to pray to a baby.
Well, look, I like the Christmas Jesus best, and I'm saying grace. When you say grace, you can say it to grown-up Jesus or teenage Jesus or bearded Jesus or whoever you want.
You know what I want? I want you to do this grace good so that God will let us win tomorrow.
Dear tiny Jesus, in your golden fleece diapers with your tiny little fat balled-up fist pawing...
He was a man. He had a beard.
Look, I like the baby version the best. Do you hear me? I win the races and I get the money.
Ricky?
I like to picture Jesus in a tuxedo T-shirt because it says, like... I want to be formal, right. But I'm here to party, too. Because I like to party, so I like my Jesus to party.
I like to picture Jesus as a ninja fighting off evil samurai.
I like to think of Jesus, like, with giant eagle's wings and singing lead vocals for Lynyrd Skynyrd with, like, an angel band. And I'm in the front row, and I'm hammered drunk.
Hey, Cal, why don't you just shut up?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Dear 8-pound, 6-ounce... newborn infant Jesus, don't even know a word yet, just a little infant, so cuddly, but still omnipotent. We just thank you for all the races I've won and $21.2 million. Woo!
Woo!
Woo! Ow!
Love that money that I have accrued over this past season. Also due to a binding endorsement contract that stipulates I mention Powerade at each race, I just want to say that Powerade is delicious and it cools you off on a hot summer day. And we look forward to Powerade's release of Mystic Mountain Blueberry. Thank you for all your power and your grace, dear baby God. Amen.
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 Let's dig in.
That was a hell of a grace, man. Thanks, you nailed that like a split hog.
I appreciate that. I'm not going to lie to you. It felt good.
Oh, man, a little Ricky Bobby to get us going today. But, you know, it's interesting because, did you notice how many times he said thank you? I mean, do we say thank you like that? You know what I mean? I mean, you know, yeah, it's for some superficial things, but, you know, we're in this season of gratitude, and as we've talked about, we're going to be taking a look at what we're going to be doing this week as individuals, you know, as Americans, whatever, you know, followers of Jesus, we all fall into those categories, and I just want to immerse us this morning in an attitude of gratitude, and I want us to be able to walk out of here today saying, you know, God, there is so much that you have done or have given or have blessed me with, and so let me just pray for us this morning toward that end. God, thank you that we can gather in this room and we can have fun. Thank you for laughter, that we can laugh at things like this. And yet, there's some element of truth in that this is a season of gratitude. And God, we want on the front of our lips to have words that tell you how thankful we are. God, not just for what you do in our lives, but God, because of who you are, because of the way that you work. And God, we just want to be together in this moment because we realize every good and perfect gift comes from you. And so, God, I just pray that you would help us to foster this spirit of gratitude this morning, immerse us in it, help us to not be able to get away from it and just to carry it into this week, but beyond this week, God, into every day of our lives from this point forward. And we just pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, today, we're going to be kind of exercising our muscles on gratitude a bit, and, you know, it's an appropriate thing. It's Thanksgiving week, but I really want this to be something that we begin to create a trend on that isn't something that we just do on this Thanksgiving week. And so I have a story that I want us to look at this morning that comes from the Bible, and I want to kind of set this up a little bit because this story has been rolling around in my mind throughout this week, and it's a story about 10 lepers who receive a healing from Jesus, and before we get to that story, story. Let me just tell you, you know, if you're have been connected with Crosspoint at all, or you receive emails from us, or have been a part of our Crosspoint student ministry, you know, it's been a pretty heavy week around here at Crosspoint because we lost one of our teammates this week. We lost one of our 17-year-old teammates who served back in the preschool room. His name was Alex, and he was battling just the monster of cancer, brain cancer, and his life went way too quick. I know many of you had been praying for him, and we appreciate that. The family has been very appreciative of the way this community has gathered around him. But as we look at this story of healing, I thought it'd be remiss to not mention not only that Alex passed this week, but there was something really amazing that took place here last weekend. And most of us didn't get a chance to experience it. Last week was amazing in and of itself. We had baptisms here and people declaring their faith through water baptism. And Alex had decided that he wanted to be baptized. He had received Christ, and about 6 months ago, he watched his mom be water baptized. And as this illness kind of took deeper hold in his life, at least physically, he said, "You know, I want to make sure that Jesus knows I'm with him and he's with me." And so he planned to be baptized last weekend, but he was afraid to do it. Talk about being afraid. I mean, he can face cancer head on as he did every single day. And yet he said, I don't know that I want to be in front of people for this to take place. And the cancer began to affect his vision. The tumors began to cause his vision to be blurry. So I think he was very, you know, cautious about wanting to fumble around, getting into a tub. So we did a private little ceremony after the service with about 20 people, his family, some friends, a few of our student ministry team. And I tell you what, it was one of the most powerful moments that I've witnessed. And I just think that, you know, it's something I'm thankful for. I know his dad's watched the video like 40-some times. And I just thought, you know, you need to see this video because there was something very powerful that took place. And so take a look at the screens and watch what took place right here last weekend.
You got it, bud.
Almost like Alex knew that within 36 hours, he was going to be leaving us here on this earth. And I don't fully get it. I mean, we've prayed. We prayed for healing. I don't understand why sometimes God heals here physically in the earth, and sometimes he doesn't. I don't get that. But I know God brought a healing to Alex. And it's almost like Alex said, "Hey, this cancer is not going to beat me. I'm going to make a declaration in my last day that I'm with Jesus and he's with me. And so, you know, that was a powerful moment, something I'm very thankful for. I tell you what, every parent wishes they could have that moment right there. And yet, there's something amazing about that video. Did you notice what he was constantly interrupting what we were trying to do? Thanking people. He's thanking people. He's like, he's just thanking people all the time. That's the way Alex lived. And so, as we look at this story from Luke chapter 17, notice the gratitude in this story. It says, on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. This was Jesus. And as he entered the village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Now it's interesting, it says, now he was a Samaritan. You know why it says that? Because Samaritans were frowned upon. Samaritans were outsiders. Samaritans really, you know, at least from the culture of that time, shouldn't have been recorded in this story. But he's the one that goes back to say thank you. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." And it's interesting because as I read this story and reread this story, I thought, you know, this gives us some really interesting handles on what gratitude is really all about and what it looks like to cultivate a life of gratitude. And it's interesting, you know, Jesus says, "Hey, were there not 10 lepers that I healed?" And yet, who turns around and says, "Thank you"? It's the one. It's one. What's the difference between this one that turns around and the other 9? I mean, what makes him so unique? Well, see, there's a little cue in this story right here. Listen, this kind of popped out to me this week. Take a look at what it says. It says, when they saw that they were healed, when he saw he was healed, when he saw he was cleansed, he turned around. When he saw he was cleansed, he went to Jesus. When he saw he was cleansed, one of the 10 went back and fell on his feet and said, "Thank you." And so the difference between the 9 who didn't turn around and the one who did was that he noticed. He noticed. And so this morning, two handles on how we can, ongoing, not just for this week, but we can cultivate a spirit, an attitude of gratitude, and especially for this week. Number one, noticing results in gratitude. Noticing always results in gratitude. I mean, when you notice something, you're like, wow, this is something God did, or here's something that changed, or here's a way that God evidenced himself in me, then gratitude begins to overflow. You know, I was thinking about this with my kids, and if you're a parent, you know, you probably do some of the same things I'm doing. You know, there's two words or three words you really are always trying to teach your kids, right? Please and thank you, right? And so, you know, in fact, we just had a birthday in our home yesterday, and we've been doing some celebrations through this past week, and, you know, we're saying to one of our kids, you know, hey, the one who was receiving the gifts, I won't tell you who it was, but, you know, we're like, hey, now remember, when your friends give you gifts, you need to say thank you. And she's like, all right. And, you know, so we're going to be going into the holidays, we're going to be pulling in the in-laws' house as we do our family gatherings, as we're pulling into the neighborhood, we're going to give our kids the speech. Now, when grandma and grandpa give you a gift, you need to say thank you. And so the kids are like, all right, my mom and dad said, I need to thank you. Thank you, grandpa. Thank you, grandma. You know, they look at you, you look at them, and the words come out. And you know, and it's not like, it's, you know, my kids aren't here yet. I hope they get to the point where someday they're like, oh, grandpa, that doll you gave me, I mean, the thought you put into that, you just understand me so well. My kids are not there, all right? It's just like, thank you, grandma, thank you, grandpa, you know, and so, you know, but you know, so this morning, I don't want this to be a morning where we're just like, thank you, God, I know I'm going to eat a lot of food this Thursday, I'm going to eat a second time, and a third, thank you, God, for all the food. I don't want to be that, like, humdrum, like, I have to do this. All right, what we're working on today is the power of noticing. The power of noticing what God has done. Not just what God gives me, but what he's done and who he is. Because a life that notices what God has done is a life that overflows with gratitude. But there's another thing that results. Not only do we have gratitude when we notice what God has done, but the second thing is gratitude leads to encountering Jesus. Gratitude leads to encountering Jesus. And that's my hope for every single one of us this upcoming week as we grow through this week of Thanksgiving. And this is something that carries on past this week, is that we come into those moments where we encounter Jesus because we reflect. In fact, if you're still flipping through your pictures, there might be moments where you're having spiritual moments. You're encountering Jesus because you're becoming overwhelmed with gratitude. And I hope that starts for us this morning, and I hope it doesn't stop. See, for the leper, he turns around because he notices, but guess what happens? He actually goes back to Jesus, and he just simply says thank you. And when he says thank you to Jesus, you know, he's a guy, listen, he's a Samaritan. He's a dude that shouldn't even been written into this story. I mean, but his story has been recorded for thousands and thousands of years. This story has been retold for thousands and thousands of years. Why? Because he simply noticed, and you know what happened? It actually led him into an encounter with Jesus, a one-on-one encounter, not a 10-to-1 encounter, because the other 9 never came back, but a one-on-one encounter. I just hope that we can have that same experience today. In fact, I want to do some things that help us lean into this. In fact, there's a really powerful book written a few years ago. It's an awesome book called The Power of Habit. And I read it a few months ago. And it talks about how these neuroscientists, how they basically have discovered that there are neurological pathways to nearly every habit in our lives. And so, for instance, there's basically this loop that we experience and that we go through with nearly any habit. You pick the habit, you go through this loop. And so here's what the loop says. It says, first of all, there's a cue. And every time we have this cue, it actually triggers a certain behavior. And then it causes us to go into a routine. And what happens is there are ritualistic things that you and I do, habits that you and I do, that are triggered by a cue, some particular cue, something that has meaning that actually leads to a certain ritual or a certain behavior. And that cue and that routine continue because at the end of that cycle is a reward. And that reward, can apply to any habit. And then you start the process all over again. And so let's just take, for instance, something I think we can all relate to, like Thanksgiving, all right? So this Thursday, you know, what's the cue to having seconds when you're sitting at this table this Thursday? Well, I don't know what it is for you, but for me, it's just that it's Thanksgiving, right? I'm like, man, it's Thanksgiving. I'm having seconds. I've not been eating seconds lately. I've been really trying to, you know, drop some LBs. But Thursday, man, that's all out. I'm having seconds. All right, and maybe you have like an Aunt Thelma, or maybe it's Grandma, and then there's another cue that comes when Grandma or Aunt Thelma come out, and they do the reveal, right? It's like after you've had seconds and thirds, the reveal comes of the desserts, and what does that cue? It's time to eat again, right? That's what that cue is. I get to eat again. And so, you know, so this table cues me that it's time to eat, and then what's the reward on eating? I don't know about for you, but for me, it's that I get to later in the day fall asleep on the couch watching, yes, football, all right, all day long, and swim and have fun with my kids. I mean, that's what happens on Thanksgiving for us. And so, you know, this habit, this cycle of a habit happens for all of us. And so I just wonder what would happen if we apply this habit of thankfulness to this routine right here, and we build a habit around gratitude. See, my guess is we're all going to be sitting around a table in some way, shape, or form this week with friends, family, people that are important to us. And what if we identified this table as a cue? And we said, every time I sit at this table, whether it's Thanksgiving Day or it's just my normal evening meal or my breakfast time, every time I sit at a table, every time a table is involved and people sit down, that's a cue for me noticing what God has been doing in my life. And so I want you to think about Thursday, you know, and what's going to be happening, where you're going to be, and what would that look like if as you sit down to that table, it's not only a cue for noticing on Thursday, but this is something that begins to happen every single time you sit down at that table. See, I want to suggest some things this morning that might begin to become a part of our routine if we allow this table to be our cue. See, this Thursday, as you sit down and you kind of, you know, belly up to the table, this might be a cue for you to recognize that and notice that there are people in your life that are really important to you. Likely you're going to do that. Maybe there are people you're sitting down with that are new friendships. You know, people that weren't in your life a year ago. Maybe you can go into this role of noticing them and saying, wow, they've played a really important role in my life over the last year. You know, maybe there's going to be some familiar people at this table. Maybe even people that you don't see very frequently throughout the year. And you're going to have the opportunity to notice and be thankful for the role that they've played in your life. Maybe there's going to be a new relationship at this table. Maybe it's going to be somebody you said I do to in the last year. And you can notice and say, God, thank you for giving my spouse to me. Thank you for the role and the significant, you know, meaning that they've brought into my life. You know, maybe it's new arrivals. I mean, we've got all kinds of new arrivals around here, right? I mean, we've got babies coming out all over the place. You know, if you've had a new arrival in your home this year, you know, maybe part of your cue is saying, you know, this year I don't only have to sit at this table, but maybe part of my cue is I actually have to get down on my knees and mash up a bunch of green beans and I get to spoon feed them, you know, away from the table. Man, I miss those days. I miss that my kids don't have to be spoon fed. A couple of them do, but for the most part, they're all, not really. You know, they're six and older now. So I miss this opportunity right here. And if you get to get down on your knees and spoon feed, man, that's a cue to be thankful because you're gonna miss that someday. Maybe part of the cue and the routine that happens when you sit at this table this week involves somebody who's no longer at the table or never made it to the table. You had hopes and dreams that they would be with you this season, and there's a void or a gap. And so maybe the table's gonna be a little bit difficult, and maybe it's choosing to say, God, thank you for being with us through this season. Because we're missing this person. We're missing the hole that's left at our table. And God, thank you for being a God who joins us and meets us right where we are in the midst of that. So people are going to play a significant part of the routine of this next week. You know, maybe it's places. Maybe part of the routine for you is you use the table as a cue to be thankful, is to think of all the places that you've been this year. Maybe some of the places that you didn't think you were going to go, but you ended up at, and it was an incredible experience. You know, for me and my family, man, I'm so thankful for our governance board here at Cross Point. I'm thankful for the fact that they gave me and my family a month off this summer and every following summer as a rest and study break for us to just have a little extended time to spend with our family. And I tell you what, we did that for the first year this summer, and we went to some amazing places just because we had time. And these are places my kids still talk about. I mean, we were just talking about like 3 nights ago at the dinner table. They're talking about how much they love these different places and experiences we had. Maybe for you, the table is a cue to be thankful for places. Maybe for some of us, it's being thankful for this place, for Cross Point. Maybe you weren't here a year ago. And, you know, and so for you, you're sitting here thinking, man, this place has changed me. And I'm thankful for what God has done in my life as a result of being in this place. You know, maybe it's spiritual places. Maybe, you know, there have been some new learnings over the last year. Maybe there's been some new growth. Maybe there have been some challenges that you've had to go through, and you have the perspective to be able to say, God, you know, I'm a different person because I went through that challenge. I would have never chose that challenge, but when I went through that, you actually grew me to new places. Another routine that can be cued as a result of coming to this table could be in the realm of pruning. You know, maybe there are things missing in your life this holiday season that were there last year. Maybe you've come to a new place of freedom and you've gotten away from an addiction that's been taken out of your life. It's been pruned out of your life, and you want to celebrate that. Maybe there has been a healing, maybe a physical healing. And you're thinking, man, there are certain infirmities or things that the symptoms in my life that are just missing this year. And I have so much more life than I had last year. And God, I want to thank you for pruning those out of my life. Maybe the cue you have when you come up to this table here this week is one of power. And you begin to go in the routine of thinking about what of God's power. And you'd be well served. All of us would be well served to answer this question and say, God, if it wasn't for your grace, then I would never have experienced and fill in the blank. God, if it wasn't for the grace of you this year, then fill in the blank. And whatever you say in that blank is the place where you've experienced God's power this year. See, these can all be a part of our routines. And the cue is the table And that every time we approach the table, we think, who are the people? Who are the places? You know, what's the power God's evidenced that I want to remember and thank him for? And we can use the cue of the table to help us notice all that God is and has done in our lives. Since the last time we sat at this table, this is what our family does every single night. Every night when we sit down as a family, we say, hey, what's the most exciting thing today? What are you thankful for today? And we go around the table, and what we're in essence doing is saying, here's the things I'm thankful for today since we've been at this table last time. And why would we do that? We do that because there's a reward that when we begin to talk about those things, we begin to experience Jesus because our hearts are overflowing. So I want us to put that into practice this morning. So here's what I want us to do. As I said at the beginning of the service, about half of you were in here because many of you are still out getting coffee when we first started. But we want this to be a very immersive experience today. So I want you to take out your phone, your cell phone. Today is a use your cell phone day in church. In fact, every day is a cell phone day in church. We encourage that. Your mama told you don't do it, but we think it's a good idea. And I want you to pull out your cell phone, and we're going to sing together in a moment. We're going to exercise our muscles of gratitude this morning. And I love this scripture right here in Psalm 103. Here's what Psalm 103 says. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. We're going to sing a song in just a moment. The band is. That's going to talk about the 10,000 reasons that God has blessed us. And hopefully it's going to continue to cultivate a spirit of gratitude in us. Now, as this happens this morning, here's what I want us to do. We're going to ask you to text in to the number 25827 and then start your text with thankful for. All right? And you can begin doing that right now. Just pull out your texting application and text 25827. And hopefully, as you flip through your pictures and as we've been sitting here, God has just began to flood your brain, your mind with memories and gratitude. I just want you to text those in this morning. And then we're going to do something with those here in a few moments. But I want us to just immerse ourselves and not miss this moment to begin to flex our muscles of gratitude as we start this week. All right, and as we do this, the band's going to lead us, and so just sit in the quietness and in the music for a few moments, and just keep sending them. I mean, you can send multiple ones. All right, just allow God to show you who he is and what he's done, and let's be thankful. This is amazing. Just watching these hundreds of these flowing in right now, people are saying, thankful for a loving God who provides not what I want, but what I need. Thankful for parents and grandparents. Thankful for how God looks over my family. Thankful for Crosspoint, a home away from home, a family away from my family. Thankful for friends who push me. Thankful for a career I love and the ability to share my passion with others. Thankful for Jesus, my family, time on earth, and a promise of heaven. Thankful for all the good and bad experiences I've been through and that God was with me through it all. Thankful for my daughter, her friends, my son, his youth and innocence, my husband, my family, Crosspoint. For my daughter getting baptized, for my mom, my sister. Thankful for hugs and kisses. Thankful for music. Hey, the band, everybody thanks you for music this morning, guys. Thankful to God for giving me courage to face fears. Thankful for life, for Crosspoint, for embracing me even though I don't deserve it. Thankful for love. Thankful for freedom. Thankful for fishers. Thankful for God's peace. Thankful for full fridges and bellies. That's an awesome one. Thankful for the mission and purpose in my life. Thankful for unanswered prayers. Thankful for hope with my daughter's mental illness and finding that Jesus can bring renewing. Thankful for new beginnings. Thankful for an amazing husband that stands by my side and supports me. Thankful for Crosspoint and the great things that are happening here. Thankful for Jesus dying on the cross for all of us. Thankful for healing me and making me strong with his grace. Thankful for CSM and all of my youth leaders. Thankful for our precious baby girl. Thankful for my kids. I mean, there's hundreds of these. I mean, you know, I don't know if we quite are up to 10,000 reasons, but we're getting up there. I mean, this is amazing. Are you seeing that there is so much? I mean, God is just continually blessing us. There's a continual flow of gratitude when we begin to notice. And my hope is that as we continue through this week, that we will be noticing that God is a gracious God. And God doesn't bless because we're good. God doesn't bless because we do the right thing. God is just a generous God, and He blesses because that's who He is. Again, I love this verse that comes from Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. Love this verse. Now in Psalm 116, just three chapters later, David, the writer of this psalm, he actually continues the conversation with God. In fact, he asks a question. Here's the question he asks. He says, God, what shall I render to the Lord for all of His benefits to me? In essence, he's saying, what can I offer to God as a result of all that He's offered to me? Now, some of us would say, well, the thing I should offer is I need to offer up to God my obedience. That's what I need. I need to offer my obedience. I need to try to follow God to the best that I can. Yeah, that's awesome. Do that. But that's not what David is discovering that God wants right here. David says, what shall I render to the Lord for all of His benefits to me? And some of us might say, well, God, I've made some bad decisions this weekend. And what I really need to do is I need to try to get on the straight and narrow, and I need to receive Your grace, and I need to try to do better and do more good so that You're happy. Yeah, well, that will make God happy. That always makes God happy. But that's not what God's looking for right here. David says, what can I render? What can I bring? What can I offer? And you know what he says? He says, you can just toast God. That's what you do. You say, hey, God, cheers to you. In fact, take a look at the next scripture. The very next verse says, I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. And so we're going to do that this morning as we kick off this gratitude week, this gratitude year. We're not just going to let it stop at a week. We're actually going to have this experience in a few moments that followers of Jesus that have been running after the heart of God have been doing for thousands of years. Some call it the Eucharist, some call it the Mass, some call it the Holy Communion. It's basically this experience that revolves around this table that Jesus had. It was probably the very first Thanksgiving meal. And Jesus was with His 12 closest friends, and He basically said to them, He began to say, hey, I'm not going to be with you too much longer, and so I want to do something. I want to make the table a cue so that every time you sit at this table from this day forward, you remember what I have done for you. In fact, take a look at how it's recorded in the Bible. It says, and He, Jesus, took the bread, and when He had given thanks for it, He broke it and He gave it to them, saying, this is My body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. So the table was a cue. And likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant of My blood. In essence, every time you find yourself at a table, I want you to use that as a cue to remember My death and resurrection, and how gracious God is, and how generous God is, and how His grace is abundantly overflowing, well beyond what you even know or are comprehending right now. And so we're gonna share this experience today. We're gonna invite you to the table, and we've got not this table, we've got tables in the corners, and these are your tables, and we're gonna invite you to these tables in the corner in just a moment. And this table isn't for everyone. This table is for those who have come into a relationship with Jesus, those who have received God's grace, who have made the conscious choice to say, God, I want to know You, I want to receive Your grace into my life, I want to begin a relationship with You. Because that's what this table represents. This bread, this cup, signifies Jesus breaking His life for me. Now, it's available to everyone, but we have to choose to receive it. And so this morning, if you have not made that step and this doesn't represent what your life is about, I'm just going to ask you to stay in your place and you can observe and watch. There's going to be a lot of movement in here today. But if you're sitting here thinking, man, I want to know that God. I need to know that God. I want to know a God whose grace abundantly flows into my life. I don't, a God who doesn't want me to get my life together but can just let me come as I am. He meets me where I am and receives me and accepts me and calls me His child. Then you can receive that grace right now. You can just say to God, God, I want to receive Your grace. I want to receive Your love right now. I want to begin to follow You. Begin that relationship and make this your first communion, your first table experience with Jesus. And one of the other unique things about the table today is these tables have an abundance of bread. an abundance of drink. And so, you know, so many times, even here at Crosspoint, at times we give you like a little piece of bread that's enough to stick in your throat and like a drop of juice to wash it down, right? So today, man, we're focusing on the abundant nature of God. So as you approach the table, I'm going to ask you to take a piece of bread or two or three, you know, fill your cup to the top, go back to your seat. If you need to go back again, go back. I want you to eat until you're full and drink until your thirst is quenched to remind you that God's grace just goes on and on and on. All right, so let's stand together. We're going to share in the table together. We're going to kick off this Thanksgiving week with hearts full of gratitude, and hopefully you've been immersed in that today. God, thank you for all that you are, all that you bring to our lives. And God, help us to see that our Thanksgivings shouldn't just be for what you've done, though we're thankful for those things, but God, just for who you are. That you're a God who had such a big heart that you made this provision to give your only son, your most important, valuable thing, your most important, valuable relationship, so that the rest of us could come to know you. And so God, we celebrate that right now. As we take the bread, we remember your body which was broken, and we drink the cup, and we lift it up, God, and we lift the cup of salvation, and we give it cheers. God, we say thank you this morning for all that you have done and continue to do. May we just be immersed in that in these next moments as we sing, as we continue to look through our past year and are just reminded of all the blessings you brought into our lives, the great moments, the difficult moments, the relationships, the places we've been, the people that have been meaningful. God, I just pray that you immerse us in Thanksgiving this morning. And it's according to you, Jesus, your name, your identity, your power that we pray these things. Amen. All right, as we sing, I invite you to come to the table, return again if you need to, eat and drink until you're filled.